Mark chapter number 8, and we're going to read first today, and then we'll move forward, but verse 33. But when he had turned about, Jesus here, and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, and if the screen had red words, it would be there today, because this is Jesus speaking, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things of men." But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Everybody say, Peter. That's who he's talking to. "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." I want to just speak to you shortly this morning on this topic. What are you aiming at today? Would you just lift your hands one more time and let's ask God to be with us in the preaching of his word this morning. Lord, we need you today. I need you this morning. Lord, your word is God-breathed. It's already anointed, God. Your word is not the problem here today. I pray, God, you would give me clarity of mind and thought today. I pray that your will would reign supreme in this house today. We need you to speak to our hearts. Lord, as you challenge us with your word, I pray that we would respond in the right manner today. Help us, oh God, hear your voice today and then not just be a hearer, but a doer of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated today. I need a little bit of help today, just for a moment. Brother Jaden, Brother Elijah, will you go in my office right here? I didn't give you a heads up ahead of time. I'm going to have you grab a couple things. What are you aiming at today? I told my wife yesterday, the only thing that I'm not sure about this new platform setup is that when I want to get down to the floor quickly, I have a temptation to want to step off. That's what she said. Don't do it. So I won't. I'll walk over here. I'm getting older. I understand. I'm going to help them. Hang on. Okay. It helps if you give them a heads up. I didn't do it. So put that target down there. Oh, there's a nervous hush going through the crowd. Yeah, leave that there and I'll take this. All right, thanks, guys. So how many have noticed that the weather has turned a little bit? Some leaves are changing just a little bit. Somebody knows where I'm going today. So with the changing of the leaves, it's not just picturesque to me, but it allows time for this tool to be of use. I'm just providing for my family, okay? Has nothing to do with the enjoyment I get from sitting in the woods. I'm just trying to fill the freezer. So how many have ever shot a bow before? Just raise your hand. All right. That's a good amount. We're in a good church today. We were at our house over Labor Day, and we had some family over, and I was shooting. A couple of us were shooting. I had my crossbow out, and I don't know how my mother ended up out there, but I don't know if she was invited, if she felt the pull of the Spirit. I don't know. But she was there, so I had to ask her. I said, "Would you like to shoot?" And she didn't shoot this. She shot my crossbow. She said, "Yeah." I said, "Have you ever shot a gun?" She said, "No." I said, "Okay, well, here." So we gave her, there. I think there's a picture out on Facebook somewhere, but she looked like a professional. She lined it up. That crossbow was set up really nice. She hit the target. We were all excited for her. Then everybody, all the ladies wanted to shoot it. So I don't know if it's a testament to how good my crossbow was set up or how good I was able to teach them in a few moments that they held it, but they all hit the target. So you draw your own conclusions. But as I was thinking about this scripture today and this morning as I was preparing, I want to talk to us about what we're aiming at today. And so when you get ready to aim, Elijah, come here for again one more time. I told you you were done, but I need you to hold this mic. Brother Justin... Brother Justin asked me if I was going to actually shoot an arrow in the church today. And I told him I would see how the Lord led. Paul did say all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So I probably am not going to shoot an arrow today. But when you get ready to shoot an arrow, of course you have a target and you've got the bow, and there would normally be an arrow on here. Everybody pray for no dry fire. Never done this in a suit before. But when you get ready to shoot an arrow, you have the release and you draw back. And you're looking through the rear, what they call a peep sight in the back right here. And then you look through your front sights and you've got pins. And as you're looking down through there, that sight doesn't give you a whole lot of picture other than what that target is. And so you've got to put that pin where you want it to be. And then there's a point in time when you'll pull this trigger and it will propel that arrow downrange and into that target. You're shooting. I'm aiming at that target today. I'm looking to get on that target today. And as we were shooting on Labor Day, I got to promise you, they were excited about where their arrows went. But we all had to ask them, like, well, which one were you, that looked like a good shot. Which one were you aiming at? Well, they all said, well, the one that's closest to where it's at. Because when you look at this target, there's about 7 or 8 different things you can aim at. And so we were just excited that they hit the bag. We were excited that they hit the target. And there is success in that. There's success in hitting the target. As you begin to learn how to shoot an arrow, when you begin to learn how to pull that bow back and release it, there's success in just hitting something near where you're aiming. There's nothing wrong with that. But there does come a point where accuracy is important. Right? You can shoot that bag all day long and just not worry about where it lands. It's a 2-foot by 2-foot square, and you can hit the target and feel good about yourself. But when the time comes to go into the woods and actually shoot at what you're supposed to be shooting at, perhaps it's a deer, you can hit a target all day, but if you're not aiming small, that aim small, miss small saying is important, because there's a point that you've got to hit a deer to ethically make a right shot. But you can hit a target and then go out in the woods and not even hit the deer. Or if you hit it, you'd wound it and it wouldn't die. You'd make an injured animal, which isn't the purpose. There's a reason for accuracy here today and what you're aiming at. What your sight picture is. Yeah, I'm aiming down range. Yes, I'm aiming at the target. But at some point, I've got to narrow it down and say, I'm going for that middle target on the left, and let me see how really accurate I am. Let me see if I'm lining up the right way to hit what I'm trying to hit. It's not just somewhere on the target. I want to be pinpoint in my accuracy of what I'm looking at today. There's an accuracy problem. Because the target is not just this block. The target for me is the right shot at the right time on an animal that I'm pursuing or something. There's a reason to be accurate today. So in our text this morning, we read about Peter. Most of us know who Peter is. Most of us in this room would be able to give some kind of explanation about who Peter was. He was one of the greatest disciples. He was the one who preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. He was given a lot of responsibility. And in our text, we read something that doesn't seem to line up with that. He was doing a lot of right things. He was aiming in the right general direction. He had a lot going correctly. In fact, if you read the preceding verses from what we've read, we hear a lot of great things about Peter. Look at verse 27 through 29 of chapter number 8. It says, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, who do men say that I am? Verse 28, and they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And then we see in verse 29, it says, and he saith unto them, but who do you say that I am? So I wanted to know what everybody else said. Now I want to know who you say that I am. And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. There was a recognition in Peter's life. He understood. He was picking up on some things. I think it's interesting, and I don't know if maybe there's a reason why. Mark doesn't really record. Maybe he doesn't want to give Peter a whole lot of credit. But if you skip over to Matthew chapter 16, the very same synoptic gospel time period, we see this recorded in the book of Matthew as well. And in the book of Matthew, it says, who do you say that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this is what Jesus told him. He said in verse 17, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth it shall be loosed in heaven. There are good things going on in Peter's life. He's aiming in the right direction. He's got some things lined up in the right way. He was getting it. He was understanding some things, but his aim was a little bit off. Because if you read in Mark, you go back to Mark chapter 8, verse 31, we see what's going on. And he began to teach them, Jesus did, and he said, the Son of Man's got to suffer many things, and he's got to be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter is rebuking Jesus. I don't know that I'd want to be in that position. But Peter was brash. He was, Lord, that's not going to happen. That's not going to take place. That's not going to happen in my line. Because in verse 22 of Matthew 16, the other side, it says, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, this shall not come unto thee. Lord, you are wrong. That's not going to happen. But Jesus turns to Peter and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Somewhere in the aiming, somewhere in the sight picture correction, somewhere Peter missed the mark. Peter didn't see what Jesus was seeing. He was aiming in the right direction, but he missed the target. Jesus is saying, Peter, you just missed it. For everything that you've gotten right so far, Peter, you just missed it. You're not understanding what's going on. But Peter wasn't the only one. Peter was probably just the only one brave enough to open his mouth because the disciples didn't understand. In fact, Jesus multiple times had to tell his disciples, listen, guys, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to have to be put in a tomb. This is just going to happen. And his disciples just seemingly blocked it out. He had to tell them over and over again. He wasn't the only one. Peter, the disciples were all clinging to hope that Jesus, the Messiah that they had been praying for, was going to come and rid them of Roman sovereignty. In their mind, they thought Jesus was stepping onto the scene to get rid of Roman tyranny, that he was going to rid them of that. They were all so tired of Roman rule in their lives that surely this was going to be the end of that. Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. He's going to overthrow the Romans. The disciples, we're going to get to be heroes with him, and we're going to get to rule the people, so we're in his little entourage. He's going to make our lives easier. But Jesus is telling his disciples, you're missing the target. You're not understanding what I've come to do. You're wanting your life to be easier. You're wanting your life to be made a little bit better. You're wanting it to be a little more comfortable. That's not why I came. But we can relate to the disciples. If we're honest with ourselves, we're not very much different than Peter and the rest of those apostles, because we want a God who makes our lives easier now. We want a God who eases our burdens now. We want a God who fixes our perceived wrongs now. We want a God who puts money in our bank account, who promotes us on our job. We want a God who will pulverize everybody who treats us wrong. Anybody willing to say, yeah, I've thought that a few times? That's the God that we're looking for. We want a God who will impose our will and not his will. We want a God who carries out our plan and not his plan. But that's not the kingdom that Jesus came to build. Jesus did not show up on the scene to carry out what you desire in your life and what I desire. That's not what Jesus came. He didn't come to make our lives easier. It doesn't mean he won't bless us. It doesn't mean that he won't take care of us. But it doesn't mean that he came here for our comfort. That's not why he came. He came with a plan, and he came with a purpose, a design target that he was trying to hit when he came to earth. In John chapter number 10, he said, I've come that they may have life and that more abundantly. We confuse that sometimes with, so we can have money and that more abundantly, so we can have success and that more. He didn't come to do that. He's not even talking about this life. He's talking about the life and the spirit that we can partake of. In Luke chapter 2, he said, I will be about my Father's business. Mary and Joseph weren't even in the right target area. They said, what are you doing? He got lost in Jerusalem for a couple days. And they said, what's going on? Why are you here? He said, well, why are you confused that I'm here in the temple? I've got to be about my Father's business. I'm here for a reason that may not line up with your agenda, but I've got a purpose to fulfill. Luke chapter 19, he said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the only reason. I've come to put down a relationship fixer. I've come to come and remove the barrier of sin from my creation so they can have a relationship with me. This is why John the Baptist did not say, well, I started this thing. Don't I get any credit? I initiated baptism. Don't I get some acclaim? No, he said, there's somebody that's coming after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to bend down and unloose. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. It was never about me, John would tell you today. It was all about him. He said that the Spirit said that somebody's coming to make the pathway straight and the mountains be brought low. He's preparing a way for Jesus to come. It was never about John the Baptist. But even John, as he's in prison, sends his disciples to Jesus and says, in a moment of doubt, are you the one or should we look for another? Because I don't understand what's happening in my life. Why am I in prison? And Jesus sent the word back. The blinded eyes are healed. The deaf can hear again. The lame can walk. The people that are blind can see. And blessed is he who's not offended at my will. That's a hard lesson for us to learn. When his will doesn't match our will we still aim for the right thing? When his purpose doesn't line up with our purpose, will we still walk in the right direction? When his direction is not our direction that our flesh wants, what will be our response in that moment? Because his purpose was never to make things easy for us down here. In fact, he said in Matthew 10, you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he also said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He also said in John 14, I will not leave you comfortless, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He also said in Acts 1, you're going to receive power after that, after you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so you can be witnesses for me. There's a purpose. There's a target that he's trying to get us to aim towards. There's a plan in place that he's asking us to be a part of. He did say, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you might be also. That place doesn't look like what the disciples were thinking. The disciples were not thinking long term. The disciples were not thinking with an eternal mindset. The disciples were thinking, I'm tired of the Romans collecting money from my paycheck every week. I'm tired of the Romans beating down on my door to collect something from me that I don't even owe. All they could think about was the culture mentality of getting things fixed now. Just get somebody off my back now. And Jesus is saying, you're missing the mark. Yeah, I'll bless you. I'll keep you. I'll make sure. I'll take care of you. And you can be healed in your body physically from what I'm going to do. But that's not the purpose. Scripture says that if it was only in this life that we have hope, we would be all men most miserable. But we have a hope beyond this life. He did say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. That's the plan all along. That was the design from the very beginning of time. That's when the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the earth. It was not to make our lives pleasant here. It was to make our lives great over there. It was not to fix everything wrong down here. This is a broken world, but it is to get us to a place where he is and what he's prepared for us. And he's going to put his Spirit in us down here to get us where we're going over there, because he said, if that Spirit is in you that raised Christ from the dead, he'll quicken your mortal bodies. What are you aiming at today? What is it that we're really shooting for today? Is it just success on the job? Is it just another promotion? Is that what our target is looking toward today? Listen, you can show up at a church faithfully every week and still not be hitting the target. We think that that's the end all be all. But the reality is you can be facing the right direction and still not hitting what you're aiming at. Because you're looking at the broad, I'll just shoot an arrow down range and maybe I'll be lucky and hit something. No, I'm aiming for something specific. It's not a job promotion. If God wants to promote me, awesome, great, but I'm going to be faithful to his kingdom. If God doesn't want to promote me, that's okay too. I'm going to be faithful to his kingdom because ultimately the Bible says that this world is going to pass away. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. This stuff is going to be gone. This cannot be our goal, this end-all, be-all goal of just having success in this life. What are we aiming at today? It's not enough just to come to church. It's not enough to be a nice person and smile. There's got to be a target that's hit today. There's got to be a fixing of our spiritual lives. If it was enough to just be religious, then he would not have condemned the Pharisees because they were absolutely religious. They had everything down to a science. They had everything memorized. They had everything put out in front. They lived that lifestyle. But he looked at them and said, you're like a whited sepulcher full of dead men's bones. You've got everything right on the outside, and you've got nothing right on the inside. If his only goal was to make us look better, then he wouldn't have finished this process. But he said, listen, there's a process in place. And when he spoke to Peter, how do you think Peter felt? Peter, one of the main apostles, strong leader. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Whew. Talk about taking the wind out of your sails. Well, I'm just telling you, Lord, I'm here to protect you. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. You're missing the mark, Peter. And Peter would go on to miss more marks. When on the Last Supper, Jesus said, I've got to wash your feet. He said, no, you're not washing my feet. He said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, and you're not of me. When they're in the garden and the guards come to collect him for to arrest him, he pulls his sword out and he cuts off Malchus's ear, the high priest's servant, and Jesus says, Whoa, what have we talked about, Peter? You're missing the mark. I told you I've got to go to Jerusalem. I've told you I'm going to be arrested. I told you I'm going to be wrongfully accused. I told you I was going to be crucified. And you guys act like you're just hearing this for the first time. There's a purpose. There's a plan. It's no accident that when he rose from the dead, he told Mary, when Mary found him in the garden, he said, I want you to go back and I want you to tell my disciples and I want you to tell Peter that I live. Because Peter's feeling a little bit foolish right now. Peter is feeling a little bit human right now. He's made some big mistakes, and he denied me 3 times when he said he wouldn't do so. And I want you to tell him that I'm alive and what I said was true. And I don't think it's any accident. We read earlier in our text that he looked at Peter when Peter realized and told him that you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. He said, upon this rock, this truth that you've just spoken, I'm going to build my church. And whatsoever you loose, I'm going to loose. And whatsoever you bind, I'm going to... It's not an accident that Peter, in Acts chapter 2, stood up with the other 11 and he began to proclaim the will of God and the plan of God on the first day of the church. He was aiming. And it was not a broad pattern. It was a specific pattern. He was aiming. And he began to preach that sermon in Acts chapter number 2. And the people, the Bible says at the end of the chapter, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, let me give you the target. Let me show you where the bullseye is. Let me show you what you need to be aiming at. And he said, I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. You need to repent and you need to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the target he was telling us to aim for. If you want to get things fixed in your life, that's the target that we're aiming for. If we want God to bless us, that's the target. Here's the thing. We can't do anything of our own accord. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing that we can proclaim to do on our own. And there's no way we can fix relationship with God in our own righteousness. But he said, if you'll allow me to, I'll forgive you of the sins that you've repented of. And when you go down in my name, I'll wash every sin that you've ever committed away. And I won't ever remember it again. And then to do that, on top of that, I'm going to put my spirit inside of you. So you have the strength and the ability to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What's our aiming point today? Listen, if Peter can miss this, so can we. If Peter can be so comfortable in living for God that he misses out what God is trying to do, then so can we. If he gets so comfortable in the routine of walking with God on a daily basis, he can miss it, and so can we. So what are we aiming at today? Our aim has got to be eternal life. It's got to be. It's got to be obedience to the scripture that we see proclaimed. Lord, above all else, I've got to be saved. I must be saved. And I've got to take somebody else with me. If you've never repented of your sins today and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost today, I would encourage you, don't leave here without that. It will change your life. It will change your direction. It will change your purpose. You'll walk out of here freer than you've ever been in your life. Listen, we get so caught up in this life. We get so caught up in our jobs. We get so caught up in just the culture that we're in. We get caught up in saving money for retirement. That's all good. We're supposed to prepare for the future. But that can't be our end goal. We can't lose sight of what we're aiming at here today. The target at the end of the range is not a full 401k and a bunch of money and a savings bond somewhere else and a house that's paid off. If it works out that great, that way, awesome. That's great. But that's not my target. My target is eternal life. And if any of those things comes in the way of that, the Bible says if your left arm offends you, cut it off, because it's better to enter into heaven with one good arm than to go to hell with two arms. Obviously, figuratively speaking here today, our goals, if our mindsets, if our target, if our aim, what we're working on, what consumes us, what drives our priorities is not the right thing, get rid of it. Nothing is worth losing out with God. Nothing is worth it. Nothing is, no relationship, no amount of money is worth losing out with God. What are you aiming at today? One songwriter said it this way: this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world. Listen, there's got to be something that feels uncomfortable in our spirit when we walk through this culture. I know we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And there's got to be something that says, listen, I'm here for this time and I'm here for this purpose and I'll do what I can do here, but this is not what I'm aiming for. This is not my target. I've got somewhere I'm heading, somewhere beyond the blue. I'm putting my treasure in heaven. I'm putting my priorities in that perspective. I'm aiming at something that is eternal, because everything else isn't worth it today. I'm asking you today, would you stand? I'm closing this morning. If you've not repented, today is the day to do so. A response of repentance is, God, I'm so sorry for anything that I've done that's contrary to you. Any sin in my life, I don't want to walk that way anymore. Repentance literally means a turning away from and walking in a different direction. I want to walk in the right way, towards the right things. If you've never been baptized here today, we have water, it's warm, we have robes that you can wear. And listen, the power is not in the water, the power is in the name. When you're baptized in the name, when you're buried with him in baptism, you take on that name. And he said that every sin you've ever committed would be remitted from your life when you are baptized in his name. And he went on to promise us that if you repent and you're baptized in his name, he would fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. It's a promise to us today. That promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, verse 39 tells us. Or maybe you're here today and you have followed Scripture and obeyed, but you find yourself so caught up in this world, so caught up in your plan, so caught up in your will, so caught up in your desires. I'm asking you today, what are you aiming at? Where are you aiming your children towards? We talked about it on Wednesday night. The first generation experiences God. The second generation, if we're not careful, hears about them experiencing God. And by the third generation, they don't even know God. Where are we aiming our children towards? What's the priority with our children? What do we make important in their lives? We just come to church when we feel like it. When we don't feel like it, we stay home. We're faithful to God when we feel like it and things are good. But if we've got other things going on and competing priorities, then we just don't. And I'm not even talking about church attendance. I'm talking about your walk with God on a daily basis. What are we aiming our children towards? Peter, you're so close, but you hadn't gotten it yet. Peter, you said the right words, but you still missed the target. I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear the words, "You savor not the things of God, but the things of man." That's why the Bible says, "Many in that day shall say, Lord, Lord." And he said, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Some of you today in this room are so stuck on the practice range. Happy with just hitting something of the target. That's fine for the beginner, but when you're still on that practice range for 3 and 4 and 10 years and you're not moving forward and maturing in your walk with God, you're not really going out and in fulfilling the purpose that God has for you, you're just satisfied with aiming in the general direction, how long are you going to stay there? How long are you going to stay there in that infancy of your walk with God? I'm asking you today for a personal reflection in your life. We're all here today in different places. Every one of us are experiencing God in different times right now. We're all along a different timeline. God's working with you and God's working with me, and we may not be at the same point in our walk with God, but are we progressing? Are we asking Him every day, what's important today? God, what's my priority today? And I'm reaching for somebody here today that might have been on the fence for a long time about taking this next step in my walk with God. Am I willing to repent? Or maybe I've repented, but I've just not taken that step of baptism. Or maybe I've done that, but I don't know if I could come down and pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not even sure how to do that. And then that's fine, to be honest, but it's a promise for you. It can be yours today. And some of you are so caught up in the infancy of walking with God, allowing the outside culture to influence what our priorities are in our walk with God and what's important, that you've lost sight of what we're really striving for. I wonder today, could we just lift our hands in this house? I believe the Lord is beginning to speak to somebody here today. Peter, you're doing a lot of right things, but you're missing it on this one, buddy. There's a plan in place. We can't just put our own will in place and say, no, I'm going to change what God has already said. No, if it's in Scripture, we can't change that. My word is forever settled, he said. I wonder if somebody in this room would take a step in Christ today and say, Lord, I want to fine-tune my aiming this morning. I want to make sure I'm putting my right priority in place. I want to make sure I'm putting my heart where it needs to be. I want to make sure I'm not being influenced solely by this culture. God, I want to follow you, and I want to follow your direction this morning. I wonder, as they begin to sing, would you be willing to take a step in Christ today? Would you be willing to take a step to the front today and say, God, this is what I need. God, I want to fine-tune some things. I want to walk with you today. I want to take a step with you today. Come on, that's it, all over this place, just in a prayerful moment. Would you ask God, is this for me today? It's a moment of decision. Come on, it's a moment of decision. God, I know you're speaking to me today. And maybe you're a little nervous. Nobody's looking around today. This is between you and God. Come on, if you've never repented, today's your day. If you've not been baptized, we want to baptize you today according to the word of the Lord. If you've never received the Spirit of God, it could be today. Or maybe it's just changing the priorities in your life. Somebody listen to the voice of the Lord today. Lord, I want your walk with me. I want your priorities with me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, let your will be done right now. Let your will be done. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Come on, I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Nothing is worth losing out with God today. I'm laying it down this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your will in my life, oh God. Your will in my life, oh God. Lord, I want your purpose in my life. Lord, I know your spirit is drawing, God. I pray that you would give somebody the strength, Lord, to move forward. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you're able, Lord, today. You're able, Lord, today. I tell you, Lord, I say yes today. I say yes today. I say yes today. Come on, I say yes today, God. I say yes to your drawing of your spirit. I say yes to what your plan is for my life. I say yes for what your target is in my life. Lord, I pray that you would begin to move. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Listen, it's incredible to me what God can do. We talked about that divine exchange last week where we get beauty for ashes. We get the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It doesn't make sense to us how he can take something that's worth so little and give us something that's worth some eternal things. But that's what God does. That song today says, well, you've turned my mourning into dancing. You've turned my sorrow into joy. The God that we serve is not interested in equal return. He said, listen, I died for you while you were yet a sinner. I knew you didn't have anything to offer me, but I've got everything to offer you. I'm thankful we serve a God that's full of grace and full of mercy. And it doesn't matter how far we've walked. It doesn't matter what we've done. God is there waiting for us. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That means every time I've walked away, goodness and mercy has still followed me. Every time I've made a wrong decision, goodness and mercy has. All we have to do is take one step back to God, and he meets us the rest of the way. That's grace. That's mercy. That's unmerited favor. I'm thankful for that today, aren't you? Why don't we just lift our hands today and let's pray today in closing. Lord, we love you. God, I'm so grateful today of the way you give us grace. Your mercy is new every day. We don't deserve it, God. There's nothing we can do to earn it, God, but you've given us grace and mercy. Opportunity, God, to when we make mistakes, Lord, you give us opportunity to correct those mistakes. When we make wrong turns, God, you provide opportunity for us to get back to the right location. Thank you for the reminder today in your word. Thank you, God, for the challenge of your word today. God, I pray that you would go with us throughout this week, that you would put somebody in my path today and the rest of this week, God, that I can speak to you about a walk in a relationship with you. Help me, Lord, to be a part of the kingdom of God, reaching and touching and speaking, God, to somebody else's life, the good things that you've done for me. Lord, I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would bless our families, bless our marriages and our homes. Keep us safe, Lord, as we travel. Lord, we look forward to being back in the house to study your word on Wednesday evening, Lord, for Bible study. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord today.